all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, July 3rd, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. You might be listening through the app instead or social media. You might be listening later by podcast. However you got here, we are very thankful to have you here on this auspicious day for some of us. Do you see the date down there? You see that date there? July 3rd, Greg Bach? On the screen?
Yeah, I do.
You see that?
I do.
See that? That means I'm officially old. Yeah.
Wow, Captain Grumpy over here. I was gonna.
Look how that. The grumpiness is all melted away. Oh wait, no, my knees still hurt. Never mind.
It means rain.
Yeah, who needs Brittany anymore? I now have knees that can forecast the weather. So
Brittany Murphy. Merlot, darn it. That's the actor. Never mind. I tried.
I know.
Happy birthday, Pat.
It's early. Thank you. From Tony up in Hayward, happy grumpy old man day. Even Roger's getting in on the act here early. Happy 60th, Pat. Have a yacht rock filled day. By the way, speedy recovery wishes to Ann Wilson, one of the best girls of rock of our generation. And he puts a link to a story about Ann Wilson. It just says the headline is Ann Wilson heart tour postponed and mentions cancer. So, yes, we hope for a speedy recovery for her as well. So, yeah, there we are. The day is not going to be a typical show.
You're 60 now. You're like, hey, my buddy died last week, and I'm going to the funeral. They're going to have a good spread. They're going to have a Braunschweiger and onion sandwiches. It's going to be great.
You can't beat a good church basement funeral dinner sometimes, but you kind of want to be on the receiving end of the dinner.
You want to be able to eat?
Not the guest of honor. Yeah, you want to be able to eat. Yeah. So anyway, not going to lie, we're going to take a more relaxed approach to the day today, before I go put on a party hat and have some cake and ice cream at some point here. But it's, because it's also our last live show for the week, we're just going to kind of treat it like a Friday. We're going to have some of our favorite friends and guests on here and just have some informal chats rather than, traditional news interviews and, monologues, soliloquies, rants, whatever you want to call them. That will include our favorite little Wisconsin power couple, Melissa Baldoff and Joe Zepecki. You normally hear them on Wednesdays and Thursdays, but instead of our Wednesday climate check with Melissa, we catch them both in their kitchen or dining room, I think, and we will find out a bit more about, things behind the scenes for this very involved duo. Also, we're going to do a little bit of news. We're going to have Jim Santel in, former U.S. attorney. And because, frankly, when it came to this history-making Supreme Court session, some of those renegade justices truly saved the worst for last in basically conferring, almost monarch-like powers to a president that they support and for their fame and quite literally their wealth. So we'll talk to Jim Santel a bit about that. We'll talk to Heather Dubois-Bornon and Chris Hambuck-Boyle from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, because Wednesday is also when we do our homeroom segment, and we're having those two on because they're the reason we do a homeroom segment. I would often pick their brains on education issues. And the more conversations I had with them, the more it became clear we should just dedicate a weekly segment to our public schools and the need to support them, the value of them, and the threats to them. So we'll talk a little bit about education, but then a little, again, just kind of informally, personally, the path that they chose, not just to go into education, but then to be an advocate for education. And let's see, we've got Selena Heller will be in, as will Dr. Kristen Lyerly, basically taking their usual Monday routine and bringing it over here onto Wednesdays for a little visit. And then we'll wrap things up with the Todd Father, Todd Alba, where we'll talk about news notes perhaps and preview what's on his show coming up this afternoon, and I'm hoping we have a special guest to talk about on Earl Ingram's show coming up at 8 o'clock on many of these civic media stations, but I don't want to spill all the beans quite yet till I get final confirmation on that. From Alicia Saunders up in Northeast Wisconsin, happy birthday, Pat. Your birthday is the day after mine. Well, happy birthday to you as well, Alicia, and thank you for the nice note. I believe I have some 6 a.m. temperatures to share here on what is definitely a muggy morning here on Lake Wasota. The temperature here in Chippewa Falls is 64 right now. Hayward's at 59, Park Falls 63, Wausau 64. Green Bay's at 66, La Crosse 65, Wisconsin Rapids reporting 65, Oshkosh 66, Madison 67, and it is 68 degrees by Greg down there in Waukesha. And as I was looking back at preparing some best of material for Thursday and for Friday when I take an extended weekend, one of the pieces that we're going to play back is meteorologist Brittany Merlot, and you basically being informed for the first time that the 4th of July is probably looking like a washout, and you not being happy because of your plans to christen the new grill and the crinkled face you're giving me tells me you're still you're not happy about that. Not that you shouldn't be.
Well, Pat, let me tell you something. First of all, oh, I thought that was going right to the music, the lyrics. So we have a workaround for that.
Okay,
we are going to still grill. I'm going to put the grill in the garage, but like right at the end by the door, so I get proper ventilation. I will be grilling. Everything is going to be coming inside because no one can do our other day of Sunday, so that's just not going to work. But fine. So Friday, the party will still happen, but it'll just be indoors, and I'll grill safely in my garage.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be very, very cognizant of the wind.
Yes,
so that you're not, you know, you know the situation we're talking about here. You don't want that, but yeah, if I'm glad that you have tried to take essentially, I'm giving a Joe Biden debate performance here because I was going to go with chicken salad and I realized I can't go with the word before chicken salad. So you took your lemons and you made lemonade.
Exactly.
So good work out of you.
I might have myself a lemonade on Friday with a little bit of vodka.
That's because I can't, to close out my work week here, I can't say, hey, what's coming up at the Laughing Tap? Because you get some time off.
Don't get me wrong. I love the place. But well, we don't get many. Yeah. We don't get many like vacation weekends a year.
Yes.
So when we get to this point, we're all like, we need this. So yes, this weekend the tap is closed. We do not have any performers. In fact, I mean, if you're in the Chippewa Valley area, just to let you know, we also don't have an open mic. If you were planning on making the drive all the way down, there's no activities happening this week, this weekend, and we're taking a well deserved rest. We'll be back with fiery form next week.
I'm really glad to hear that's what you're doing, taking the time off. And not that, again, you don't put a lot of care into the club, but you know, there could also just be, well, this is our weekend where we've got to, like, you know, we've got to repaint the place, or we've got to, you know, change things around. We got to do all this work. No, don't work. Actually,
yeah,
take the time off and enjoy.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to do a whole bunch of nothing.
I that hammock outside in the backyard, and I think the only time I have spent like an actual extended moment out on the hammock was out of frustration one day. Something wasn't going right, and I was just like, I need to take a break. So go out there and Sherry, what are you doing out there? I'm resting.
Dr. Kreitlow, I'm taking it. See, I can't, even when I'm doing an impression of you, I cannot call her by her first name. Dr. Kreitlow, I'm taking a nap. And I'm going to rest.
But I did have some really good luck with a household errand late yesterday.
Okay.
We took out our deck and we put in kind of a split level patio, I guess you could call it.
Okay.
And it's got kind of a kneeling wall on it. And so kind of like under cabinet lights, you know, in your kitchen.
Yeah.
We've got these lights that kind of go underneath a lip of this, you know, wall along there. And it adds a really nice lighting touch. Well,
I like that.
Over the 4 years that, you know, we've had this, the little tiny lights one by one have been going out, and at no point did it hadn't quite reached the level of, I suppose I better do that. And I finally did last weekend you have to take off the cover, which means taking out all the spider webby stuff, if you know what I'm talking about. It's just gross. Yeah. Finding the little bulb, realizing that no hardware store in Chippewa Falls or Eau Claire sells this particularly specialized bulb. Thank you, landscape contractors. But I managed to find what I thought was a match online. The Amazon delivery person shows up yesterday. I opened it up, and the lights, they don't quite look like a match. And I thought, oh no, what if this doesn't work? So I only changed two of them instead of all 10. And as I'm on the phone with Sherry yesterday, because she was out of town doing some party planning, and I'm talking to her just fine, and suddenly she hears me and I go, and they're working, the light bulbs are working. Nobody's ever been so happy for a tiny light bulb to be working than for me. It means I didn't screw up. I bought the right lights, and now later today I get to replace the other 8. So I am such a handyman. I tell you, I've never felt more virile. 60, that means nothing. I can change a tiny light bulb.
60 is the new I understand how to order Amazon light bulbs. Thank you.
I don't want to go into the hardware store and look dumb. I'm still going
to
manage to do
that. Did
I
tell you what happened to me at the hardware store?
No.
Someone came up to me.
Minute. Go for it.
Someone came up to me and just said, hey, do you know where I'm like, I don't work here. But inside I was like, he thinks I work here.
Aw.
Yeah.
See, right, you have skills. You look like you have skills.
Thank you.
We'll go with that. Bob Look on Facebook, happy birthday, Pat. Have a great day. Thank you very much. Pat, are you going to read every comment out loud that a happy birthday greeting that comes into you? Yes. Yes, I probably am.
Yeah, and if you have a problem with it, you can come to me.
if you're going to be nice to me, why wouldn't I reward you for that, right? Another back-and-forth game for the Brewers in Colorado last night, but this one didn't end with a home run or any kind of hit. Except a hit batter with the bases loaded. Brewers win 4-3. Hitting a batter with the bases loaded. How embarrassing for that Colorado pitcher. But, you know, it could happen. For your first place Milwaukee Brewers, it is their 26th come-from-behind win this season. Most in the majors. Their last 6 wins have all been come-from-behind victories. Colin Ray gets the start for the Brewers in Game 3 of the series, 7:40 tonight. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north. Back after this. So no, I'm not 60. What is this?
You are
just
60.
Looked me this note. No, I mean I'm not 64.
Okay.
I'm not 64. I'm sorry. I saw this note you were passing me at the same time, and says if you hit a batter with the bases loaded, would that be called a bam slam? Very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. You just created a whole new term. The baseball dictionary people. Thank you. No, I was looking for not just, you know, you had the Beatles birthday song and there's the Beatles when I'm 64. And I thought, is there anything, doesn't mention me, 60 years old is not like really a thing, but just any songs that really mention 60 at all. And no, not really. I mean, if you look up songs that mention ages, I mean, you get Taylor Swift with 15. You've got Blink 182 with What's My Age Again, mentioning 23. There's just a whole lot, you know, Stevie Nicks, The Edge of 17 is on there. Ellie Goulding has a song called 16. Five for Fighting, 100 Years, mentions the ages of 15, 22, 33, 45, 67, and 99. But again, no 64 in there. Somebody asks, what is it in this particular thread on the interwebs? What is it with 17 specifically? I'm just like, have you listened to the lyrics of the song? Have you forgotten your teen years? It's an interesting time that lends itself to songs, shall we say.
That's an important age, 17 to 18. That's a weird transition. Because you think
it is.
Because you are legally an adult. and you are able to do certain things as an adult, but you're still a kid.
And, right.
Yeah.
I fight as much as I joke about, you know, getting older. I really do fight the urge to do the knee jerk thing, unless of course it's for comedic effect. And what I mean by that is just immediately dismissing, say, somebody who's 24, 25 as, oh, you're just a kid. You're just a baby. Or now I would say that to somebody 29 or 30, like, you're just a baby. Like, no, wait a minute. We bought our house. We bought this house, you know, at 29, about to turn 30. We got married at 22, had kids at 24 and 26. We were adults. We knew what we were doing. We knew what we were getting into. We're older and wiser now. That's for sure, but I'm not going to, you know, dismiss it and go, oh, we were kids, we were babies. Only to say that my daughters are 33 and 35, which the math doesn't work because, like Sherry and I say, we're 36. I don't understand how could that be, that they could be so much older than we were at that age.
I can't. I feel like I can't say anything right now that doesn't sound. No, I'm gonna let it be. Yep,
you're just gonna let Grandpa ramble on, aren't you?
I'm gonna let the birthday boy have this one.
I appreciate all the ages. I'm not going to lie. This one feels a little bit different. I mean, 30, 40, and 50. I embrace them all wholeheartedly. Yeah, look, I'm a grown-up. I'm an adult. Look at me. And 60,
I can rent a car.
Yeah. 60 definitely has a different kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
In part because, and I don't remember when this happened. It could have been you for all I know, but I made some comment about, you know, being middle age, and somebody's reply, what do you mean middle age? And then it occurred to me that, you know, again, there's no official cutoff, but you could say middle age, you know, but if somebody calls you old in your 50s, you're like, no, you're just joking. 60 is no longer a joke. If somebody says you're old, like, well, yeah, the label actually fits better than middle age, no matter how you feel on the inside. Yeah. So it's been a little bit different this year. I joke about the knees all the time, you know, and other ailments I've had. I've had a bad shoulder, a bad hip, and you try to do the little exercises, but each time you do them, it's just a reminder, like, oh yeah, there's always going to be something from this point on, and you have to not let it get to you. But clearly I do. I will try to get better.
I mean, well, the thing is, inwardly you may. I understand that. That's what we all go through as we age. I mean, I know that to a 60 or a 70 year old, like, I'm 3 years away from turning 50, and that's something that's in my brain quite often. Like, oh, and not like in a bad way. It's just like, whoa, 50. That's me, 50. Like, that's interesting.
How did that happen? Right.
And so I really appreciate your attitude towards it, though, as far as, like, you know, it's something I really strive to do is, you know, younger people, like, never dismissing them because of their age. That I don't like intergenerational squabbles. I think that's a waste of time. In fact, I think it's something that surely divides us on a political and social landscape as well. I don't mean to turn it to make me serious, but I think, you know, yeah, they don't have as much experience as us, but they have more experience in the world they live in than I do. And it behooves me to listen to them when they're talking, because, I mean, I grew up in a different time. I just did. And so I don't understand it. And instead of going, you just need to grow up and get tough, because when I was younger, we had landlines. What does that mean? That means nothing to a person who's 20.
Right. Everybody, you get the experience that you get in that particular time frame. And yeah, there's good times and there's bad times, things we look back on fondly. But it was, there were a couple of people, including a couple who are going to be my guests later in the show here, who are past 60 and who have made this comment, essentially like, yeah. How are you going to feel when you're 70? You're going to look back at 60 and go, oh my God, I was so much younger. Yeah. Oh, I was, you know, thinner, or I've had more energy or whatever, which is exactly how I've been all my life. I have looked back at older pictures and go, oh, I looked so much better. But I remember when the pictures first came out, and I was just like, oh, I need to lose weight, or what's wrong with it? I feel so old. Now I look back at those pictures and go, oh, what I would give to have that time again, you know? You just forget. Tony writes in, maybe 60 feels weird because it's such a new and exciting experience. Give it 9 years. You'll get the hang of it.
Nice.
I could definitely feel that. And again, you don't know what the future holds, and you can't just assume a decade is going to be like it is. And I don't, again, with apologies for not trying to make this a dark thing. I'm trying to make it, positive and looking ahead. But ask anybody who deals with people who are older. In my case, a physician who has older patients, and patients that will say, yeah, we were going to retire. You know, we were going to travel, and then, you know, my spouse died, or yeah, I got sick, or, you know, something happened with the kids or whatever. And so you really do have to treat every single day as a blessing. And I truly do. I mean, I have felt so lucky. You know, there were things I wanted to do as a kid. I wanted to be on the radio. Check. I wanted to be a TV anchor. Check. After interning for my state legislator, I wanted to be a state legislator. Check. You know, I better quickly add, I wanted to marry a beautiful blonde. Check, 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 check. Got that. I've been very blessed that way. So I know that only a few people here who haven't yet turned off the radio or rolled their eyes, you know, will appreciate this. But there are worse attitudes to have going into a birthday. I totally agree with that.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think what you have is a healthy attitude and a realistic attitude. There's nothing wrong with looking back. There's nothing wrong with thinking about the future. There's nothing wrong with, as long as it doesn't fuel a negative place that makes you feel worse. Because there are people who are 10 years younger than you who look 20 years older than you because they just live a life of negativity, and you do not. And I appreciate that. And I think that's a good attitude to have, especially, you know, That's going to rub off on your children and your grandchildren. And that's just good stuff.
And that is the coolest part of all. And all the grandkids are going to be here this weekend.
Yay.
All right. One of my favorite couples, Melissa Baldoff and Joe Zepecki. We get to talk to them together on this special edition, to me anyway, of Up North News Radio. Back after this. It is now my distinct pleasure to have our Wednesday and Thursday morning guests, Joe Zepecki, Melissa Baldoff, from left to right on my screen. How are you guys?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Where are we gathered here? Are those like decorative photos, family photos behind you, or where are you at?
You might say it's the story of us. We've got some wedding photos back there, some family photos, the invite, the Obergefell decision, the conclusion of that, which we made sure it was read at our wedding ceremony.
Yeah. Nice. So is this the kitchen, little dining area?
Dining room.
Gotcha. All right. Well, good. Well, see, I feel like I'm feeling more and more like Edward R. Murrow.
We'll say we don't usually eat in here. We usually do eat at the kitchen table. So I often work. You usually see me at a different end of this table from a different view of it. So, you know, we just do it wherever things go is where we set up and work.
Right. But do you, as people who have been consultants, strategists, things like that, for as hard as you work, nobody's second guessing that, but do you kind of like, I appreciate what technology lets us do now that you're probably not on the road nearly as much as the people who did all of our various jobs, as they say, back in the day?
You know, it's funny you should ask that, Pat. When we got together, when we got married, I had already been a consultant without an office. I was working from home. And so we all moved in together, and then I was working out of the house and Melissa was going to work. And then a pandemic happened and that stopped, and now we both work from home. And you know what? It's been perfect, flawless, no notes. I wish it had been like this the whole time. Agreed?
You know, I love sharing space with you. That's not an issue. I will say the internet leaves a little bit to be desired, especially when we also had virtual schooling going on. So that is a little challenging. But yeah, I mean, working from home is great. It definitely beats the drive back and forth to Madison, which is something I know you can relate to. And your drive back and forth to Madison was longer than mine was. So, yeah, it's nice being able to, you know, to work wherever and get things done. wherever you need to be able to get them done. And, you know, and sometimes you have to go in person and be somewhere in person for something, but it's nice to be able to get as much done remotely as you can. That is a great perk of the era we are in.
The funny thing about pre-recording this is that in answer to the question of, you know, this is working out, right? I can edit in as long a pause as I want before Melissa provides her answer. So I might have to take a little creative control over this, but no, it is working. And we're really glad that we get time with you every week to visit on climate issues, political issues, all the other things that you guys are working on, which gets us back to, and we may have talked about this over the December holidays, but I'd like to do it again, to borrow the line from the movie Office Space. What is it that you'd say that you do around here? Talk to us both a little bit more about... I don't know if you would call it a typical day or a typical week, or maybe a typical week. What are some of the things that you do pretty much every week that maybe people don't know about or we don't talk about when we're talking about the headlines? Melissa, why don't you start?
Well, obviously the highlight of every week is talking with you, Pat, and sharing news about climate progress and what's happening with our environment and our clean economy and the jobs that we're creating in green jobs we're creating in Wisconsin. So that's one of my main highlights every week. But, you know, I'd say a typical week for me could look like a lot of things, but generally, you know, it includes things like talking to reporters still. You know, that hasn't changed since I left the governor's office, still chatting with a lot of reporters about things. Working with clients to produce media events around the state, whether those are in person or virtual, you know, consulting with my clients on what they're trying to accomplish, you know, whether it's in terms of their long-term goals, their short-term goals, how we can use, you know, paid media or earned media to achieve those goals. So it really can look like a lot of different things. You know, it's nice to have some flexibility that I didn't used to have before in my day to day. But a lot of the tactics are still the same things that I was doing when I was in, you know, say the governor's office or working for local government. Still a lot of the same kinds of work, but having a little bit more flexibility and doing them with a number of different kinds of clients and organizations is really interesting and is a good challenge for my brain to have to think in different ways about different things.
And how about you, Joe?
Everything she said, she nailed it almost perfectly. I mean, I'll just put a finer point on one of the additional ways that the world has changed with technology is when in the before times you needed to do a press conference, sometimes you had to pack up and go all the way to La Crosse, for example. Now, sometimes you can do that from a Zoom and still deliver a message to the right audience. And so there are still days when it makes a lot of sense for us to get in the car or go down to Racine or to Madison or up to Green Bay or whatever it is. And other than that, a lot of what we do can be done from home, whether that's strategizing with clients, whether that's putting together plans with teams to present to clients, coming up with new strategies and new ways to ultimately communicate about the world that we want to see. And that is ultimately, we are very, very fortunate to be able to work on projects and with clients and organizations who share our values and our worldview. And what we're ultimately trying to help them accomplish is make the world a better place, make Wisconsin a better place, and make it closer to the vision that we have.
And I would add that the places Joe mentioned are among the places we have both been in the past week.
Very true. Is there, and look, we're not here to disparage any clients or candidates or parties or things like that in asking this question, but is there, would you say in your experience, there's a particular magic wand that somebody's expecting from you and you want to say to them, hey, I'm good, but I can't do that. Is there an unrealistic expectation when a prospective client reaches out to you in terms of what you're able to do to help them communicate a message or lobby on behalf of something or some other service that you provide?
I just want to make clear, I'm rejecting the premise of the question. I'm here to dunk on Eric Hovde. Just throw me an alley-oop and it will happen. In terms of the, is there a problem that can't be solved by communications? Absolutely. And what it comes down to is when people, I think, find themselves in a crisis situation, sometimes it is out of their control. Sometimes it is mistakes or malfeasance that were made, and then people are left kind of holding the bag and trying to pick it up. Communications in those crisis moments is really, really important. And communications in a vacuum, disconnected from the reality an organization is living, is meaningless. It's not authentic. It's not real. And so I think a way that we both think about this is communications is critical, but it has to match reality. We're not here to spin or to make stuff up or to, you know, be off in one direction when the reality is another.
We might spin a little bit, but we don't make stuff up. So I would also one thing I would say though is, you know, we don't get to write the headlines. A thing I always kind of approach the work with in mind and try to talk to clients through is, like Joe said, if there is ever a crisis situation, you might not be able to completely repair what's going on, but you can at least begin to repair trust with the media and with the community and get things to a better place. That way, when the next story comes or the next story comes, you're in a better place to keep things moving and to begin to tell your story again. But I do think, like Joe said, that good communication, honest, transparent, robust communication can do a lot of things.
So what I'm hearing is, for all of the talk that we make on this program about what we call the right-wing echo chamber, that they've created their own reality, the fact of the matter is that can happen to any of us. It can happen inside a company. It can happen inside an industry. And you're helping bring a certain level of outside perspective, it sounds like, that fresh point of view that hopefully most clients are grateful for after you've finished your work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, it's all about, figuring out the right audience and the right story to tell them from the right storyteller, how that's going to connect and how that's going to, you know, help achieve goals. And that can be, that can be something that's, related to a public good, right? That could be communicating about a project in your community. How do you help people understand about, a big infrastructure project in a community? It can be helping launch a new product for a business. It could be anything. So yeah, it's really about figuring out who you need to talk to, what they need to hear, who they need to hear it from, and how it's going to achieve those goals.
All right, well, let's take that and bring it back to the world of politics that we talk about so often. And for folks who are listening to this, and they're thinking, not this year, obviously, but they're thinking they would like to maybe run for office someday, or maybe they would like to advocate more for their favorite cause or, for their favorite group. What would you tell people who aren't doing anything right now, but they're thinking of finding a way to be an advocate, to be that neighborhood activist, if you will? Where do you even start?
Start by doing it. If you are thinking about that, jump up, raise your hand. There are terrific organizations ranging from the state Democratic Party to Demand Justice, if you're thinking about running for a judge position or applying for a judge position to be appointed. If you want to learn how to be a candidate, if you want to learn how to be a staff person on campaigns, there are organizing opportunities and training opportunities that are always available and people to support you, which I got to say, 25 years ago was not as much the case as it is now. There is much more infrastructure to support you, ranging from Emerge, if you are a pro-choice woman who wants to run. Like, there are programs and trainings and things that can help you So if you want to step up, raise your hand and there will be resources to support you.
I would really echo that, especially for women considering running. Women have to be asked to run for office many, many more times than men do. Emerge Wisconsin is a fantastic resource for women who are thinking about running for office now or in the future. It's a great training program. If you're thinking about doing that, get involved with Emerge or with your local Democratic Party at the county level. We'll also have resources. And I would say, like Joe said, just get involved, just start doing, find a local Moms Demand Action Group, whatever your cause is, right? If it's environmental, your Sierra Club chapter, your Wisconsin Conservation Voters chapter, find whatever your issue is, whatever your passion is, there is probably an organization with a chapter near you in Wisconsin. We are a state with a lot of active organizations doing this fantastic advocacy work. And, you know, if there's an issue near and dear to your heart that you don't see something going on with, I bet you could find some people close by who are interested and you can get started. We've seen that happen before. And Pat, we've talked to people on the show who got engaged around issues in their community. I think about the folks up in Superior who got engaged around issues in their community and the folks down in Beloit, right? So, if you don't see something specific, find people who agree with you and get engaged.
Melissa Baldoff, Joseph Pecky, thanks for letting us take advantage of the Independence Day work week. Since we can't do a 4th of July, backyard barbecue together, it's nice to metaphorically kick our feet up for a bit and be able to chat. Thanks so much for doing that today.
Happy 4th, everybody.
Thanks.
And we will be back after this. You're up north. There's a little Huey Lewis in the news on this Wednesday morning. It is just about 6:51, and it's there because on this day in 1985, yes, it has been nearly 40 years since Back to the Future, starring Michael J. Fox as a time-traveling teenager, opened up in theaters, and Back in Time was part of the soundtrack of that movie. Among the many historical things that happened on July 3rd, some better than others, but here to help me with it all, as usual on Wednesdays, Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning.
Melissa. And a couple of Monday folks who I conned into showing up on a Wednesday for a little bit as well, Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Up North News reporter Selena Heller. Hello.
Good morning. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Ooh, happy birthday.
All right.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And Dr. Lyerly is home in Green Bay. We're not used to seeing that. The video that she's running now for her campaign shows her on the road all the time. It's weird to see at home. Do the cats look at you funny this way too? Like, what are you doing here?
No, they just like it when I feed them.
Oh, okay. Well,
just like
priorities.
Just like the boys. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's see. This is a birthday for Fontella Bass. She was born this day in 1940. Does anybody remember the 1965 hit that she had? Oh, never mind.
I do.
Well, you have the notes. Play the song. Again, this is Fontella Bass, born in 1940. Which, yeah, for the longest time, I thought it was Aretha Franklin when I was a kid, but learned that it was somebody else. She passed away in 2012. July 3rd is not a great day for rock and roll and guys who maybe play a little too hard. Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones was found dead in his swimming pool in England on this day in 1969. 2 years later on this day, Jim Morrison of the Doors was found dead in his bathtub at the age of 27. So I'm staying away from all bodies of water today. This is the anniversary of the birth of Judy Durham. you, again, you don't know her, but you know the group. The group is The Seekers, and this was their big hit from 1966.
My God.
Hey.
Hey there, Georgie girl, swinging down the street so fancy.
I mean, I feel like I just walked into an Austin Powers movie. Yeah.
I feel like Greg wore the perfect shirt.
With all.
Had his Roy Kent shirt on. Georgie Girl peaked at number two. It could not push the Monkees' I'm a Believer out of the top spot. Judith Durham passed away a couple years ago at the age of 79.
Yeah, just all dead people today, Pat. Wow, thanks.
Wow, on that note, the late Laura Branigan was born this day in 1952.
Her album cover just looks like an ad for leather pants.
It is, and that was exactly the thing. She passed away in 2004 at the age of 52. I think I've used up all the folks who are no longer with us. Yes, I think everybody here, present company included, is still here.
No, Pat, there are a lot of dead people we could talk about. I mean, there's a lot of them.
No. We'll stick to the ones who are alive here. All right, next is somebody who, again, you might not remember the name. I think he really only had one big crossover hit. Johnny Lee is 78 today, but he had like the big song from the Urban Cowboy soundtrack back in the day. There we go. See, folks watching on social media, it takes a second or two, but pretty soon the whole screen is swaying, you know, yep, back and forth to it. Yep.
I want to dance with my best girl right now.
That's right. Another country singer, Aaron Tippin, is 66 years old today, and he had a string of nominal country hits in the early 1990s, like this one.
He'd say you've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for
Let's see. Montel Williams is 68 today. Wow. Julian Assange is 53. I'm not in the most esteemed company, birthday-wise, here. Although Olivia Munn, 44 today. She gets to be on the list. Yeardley Smith, Lisa Simpson, is 60 years old today.
Woo.
And I share a birthday with Tom Cruise, and that is all I share with Tom Cruise. He turns
Hail
62.
Zeno.
62 years old today with Tom Cruise. And finally, singer Elle King, the daughter of comedian Rob Schneider, turns 35 today.
Oops, sorry, wrong song.
No.
That
ruined so many buttons.
Wait, say that again. Elle King is the who?
Is the daughter of Rob Schneider from Saturday Night Live, the copy guy.
Making copies.
Did you not know this?
No.
Oh, you never... Not looking at her the same anymore, are you? Ugh. She is a star in her own right, and X's and O's was her first big hit. Happy anniversary. Yeah, happy anniversary to Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton. They got married 3 years ago today, so hope all goes well there. Melissa, what is happening over at Locally Grown Radio that we should know about to start off this second half of the year?
Well, we are going strong with our new programming, and I'm excited. I'm starting work on my new show, Community Stories. Mm-hmm. And I've got a bunch of, I don't want to call them interviews. It's a chance for people to share their stories with me. So I don't know what to call them yet.
They're conversations.
They're conversations. They're visits. Yes. Coffee clutches.
There we go. So yeah, I have a bunch of them set up for later this month and next week. And I'm excited to get going with it.
That is so, I love your excitement about this and that you let us once a week kind of workshop it. We've been going over titles and formats.
Yeah, great. How's my opening music coming?
Oh, I wrote something here. Hold on one second here.
Let's see. Wait, I think he's got just the right thing in mind. There it is.
Yeah.
No! I was expecting Wichita lineman again.
I know you were, Pat. I know you were. Happy birthday, Pat, from me and Paul.
It's really not the thing that I needed here. Melissa, is it all community conversations, or could people not in your community be guests, you know, like Greg Bach and others?
I want to focus first on and community is, yes, I mean, it's
community is what you make of it, right?
Right.
Yes. Okay.
My idea is to focus on sectors of the community. So mm-hmm. my first series of stories is going to be veteran stories.
Okay. All right. Very quick. July 4th plan for the whole weekend. Anything big?
I'm working.
You're nothing. Working, Alina?
I'm cleaning.
Yep. I love fireworks, so I don't know.
Okay, it depends on the weather. Kristen?
Parades. We're going to be in Oaxaca and then yes. Gillette.
Woo. Name the candidate amongst us. We found her. Selena and Kristen are going to stick around. Melissa, thank you so much. Have a
yes,
great fourth
great
and a wonderful
everybody.
Weekend. All right. And we'll continue with Selena, Kristen, Greg, and so many more on the second hour of Up North News Radio for this July 3rd after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And I drive the main road.